I'm excited for this because today we're going to talk about the cross. And the cross of Jesus is not a popular sermon in today's world. In fact, we don't hear many messages about the cross as we used to back in the days. And so I want to talk to us about the cross and the day of the cross, because what we're doing is that we're talking about 3 days. The first day, we talked about Jesus being at the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The second day, today, we're talking about the day at the cross. And next week, I tell you what, you gotta make sure you invite somebody next week. We're going to talk about the resurrection, and it's going to be powerful. You're going to hear some stories that, man, I tell you what, no, it's not going to be one dry eye in the building. I tell you what, it's going to be powerful. But what I want to do is focus in on the cross this morning, and I want to read a few scriptures today. And as we talk about the cross, because without the cross, the Bible is a very dark story. It's a very dark book. And so the cross is the climax of the Bible, and we're going to talk about it today and see how it impacts our everyday life. So if you will, I have your sermon notes inside your worship guide, and we want to read those together. And I want to start by reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. It says this, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I did not use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to read that second verse over again. It says, for I made a resolve to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus and him crucified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, would you speak to us and give us a word? And Lord, we want to hear your voice, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever I read the Bible, I always kind of read it with questions in mind. Because whenever you begin to question the scriptures, I believe the Holy Spirit uses your question to illuminate deeper truths for us. And as I began to read this scripture a few weeks ago, I began to ask myself the question, now why would Paul choose to use the rest of his life to focus on Jesus and the cross? I mean, he could have said, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life focusing on Jesus kind of ascending up into heaven. I could have spent the rest of my life on Jesus resurrecting from the grave. But Paul says that I choose to spend the rest of my life focusing on Jesus and the cross, and I believe that there is a reason and a purpose behind that. And honestly, there's one statement that I want you to know this morning, that if you forget everything else, I want you to know this, that the cross of Jesus has the power to impact your everyday life. And I believe that Paul wanted to focus in on the cross because he knew the power of the cross for his everyday life. He didn't want the cross to be some distant historical event that happened, that we watch on movies, that we talk about during Easter for once a year. But no, he believed that the power of the cross has the power and has the ability to affect and impact your everyday life. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So I want to talk about the first point of the cross and how it impacts our lives. And it's this: victory is always possible. Victory is always possible. I believe that Paul wanted to focus in on the cross and him crucified because it's at the cross that we can experience victory in the worst of worst situations. Now let's go back to that day. That day was a low day for the church of God. In fact, it was a bad day for the kingdom of God, and it seemed as if the kingdom of God had lost. It seemed like the enemy had won, and his plan that he had set forth from the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden had come to pass. It seemed like the devil had won, but right in the middle of the cross, we understand that it is victory that we get to experience on an everyday basis. Let's think about Paul. Paul was a guy who experienced crazy stuff in his life. I mean, there was one particular time where he was about to be sentenced for a long term in prison. And in the middle of the night, where everyone in the world thought that Paul and Silas was going to be jailed for many years, In the middle of the night, there was an earthquake that happened, and the chains came off, and the shackles came off, and God set them free in the midst of a situation where victory appeared to be impossible. And what you and I need to know about the cross of Jesus that is that there's no storm that's so long, there's no night that's so dark, there's no situation that you and I can ever face where victory is impossible. Victory is always possible because of the cross. And Paul had to remind himself of that because he faced situation where it seemed like there was no way. He seemed like it was dark places and dark nights, and it seems like he can just give up and just throw in a towel. But Paul wanted to focus on the cross because the cross reminds us that every situation that we face, every moment, victory is possible. And that's a powerful truth. You know, Brittany and I, my wife, we watch this show called Fixer Upper often. And it's a show that I hate that my wife watches because she gets all these house project ideas. And honestly, I believe the Lord is calling me to cut our cable so we can save money so we can give more to the church. But it's a show where these guys, right, this couple, this wife and this husband, they go out and they find these houses for people, and these houses are in bad shape. Most of them could be condemned. They're in terrible shape. They have no value. There's nothing great about its appearance. But what this couple does, they go in and they invest a lot of money into these houses, and they turn them around and they flip them, and they turn into these beautiful homes. Right? And one of the truths that we need to know about Jesus is that Jesus in the natural realm was a carpenter. So his job was to take broken things and to mend them back together again. And what I know about Jesus is that he was not only a carpenter in the natural realm, but he was also a carpenter in the spiritual realm. He was a God who can take broken pieces and broken things and broken situations and broken lives and broken marriages, and he can mend them back together again. That's his job. That's what he does. And that's what he wants to do with our lives. He wants to fix us up, and he wants to remind us that because of the cross, there's no situation too broken for him to fix. Victory is always possible. I love in the text. The text kind of reminds us of this truth. Inside the crucifixion story, there's a story where in the middle of this narrative, where the main guy is Jesus, comes two thieves. So there was two thieves that was crucified right next to Jesus, one to the left, one to the right. And the first thief, he kind of mocked Jesus, like, "Jesus, if you're the Son of God, get us down from these crosses," right? And he was just kind of mocking Jesus. But then there was this second thief that really we can just hang out all day. Because there was a second thief, and in those days, if you were being crucified, you were not a normal Jew. You were almost as if an immigrant that came into the Roman kingdom and caused havoc, had caused chaos, that caused all type of crazy stuff to go on inside the city. In fact, these were the worst of criminals. Most people say that these criminals were lifelong criminals. And Jesus was being crucified right next to them. And this one thief, I can only imagine, we don't know his story, we don't know his family, but what we do know is that he had to be younger than 40 to be crucified, because they only crucified young men. We do know that he had to have most of his life to be dedicated towards a criminal lifestyle. We do know that. And obviously, we know that he has a family. I'm not sure what his mom was thinking in that moment when this thief to the right of Jesus was being crucified. I'm not sure what his dad was thinking. I'm not sure what his grandparents were thinking in the moment. Could they be thinking of that, "Man, my son has lost his life. The enemy won in his life. He is a lifelong criminal, and now he's being killed on the cross. It's all over for him. It's all over." I'm not sure if he had a praying grandma, but what I do know is this, that in the nick of time, God showed up in this criminal's life, and that day he was in paradise with Jesus. And I love it because it reminds us that there's no life that we face, there's no situation that we face that is too late for God to bring victory in. And that's amazing, because this guy has spent his entire life in right, and most scholars, one of the scholars calls him, first name is Nick, middle name is Of, and last name is Time. His name was Nick of Time, because he met Jesus right in the nick of time, right when the world thought that the enemy had won in this guy's life, right when the world thought that the enemy was going to take over his life, right when they thought, right then, Jesus came in and brought victory to this criminal's life. Right in the midnight hour. I remember growing up, there was a song. My grandparents were pastors at this church, and so it was a predominantly African-American church, and we just sang this song, right in the midnight hour, God will turn it around and around and around and around. It was like that one sentence that he always says, right in the midnight hour, right when the world thought that he won, right when the enemy thought that he won. And you might be in a situation, or you might face situations like the Apostle Paul, that you may think that there's no victory, but God will remind you that victory is always a possibility because of the cross. Not only do we know that victory is possible, we also see that we have to carry our cross. We have a cross to carry. Jesus was on this cross, and he died on this cross, not so that we can avoid a cross. He died on the cross so that we can avoid hell. But we all have a cross to carry. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says this: Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple or follow me must first deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, this message is an unpopular message because the cross is not something that's easy for our natural bodies, for our flesh. The cross is heavy. The cross is an instrument that was used to execute people. The cross is an instrument of death. It was a death instrument. And what God is saying to us, and because of the cross, we have to carry our own cross. And the cross kills anything that might keep us from experiencing the victory that God has for our life. And so I always thought growing up that the cross of Jesus was this heavy burden. Oh, I gotta live holy. Oh, I gotta be perfect. Oh, I gotta carry my cross. I used to hear preachers talk about, you know, the preachers back in the days talk about the cross, like, you better carry your cross and God's call you. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't wanna carry that cross. I'm scared of that. You keep that cross to yourself. I was always scared of the cross. But then I began to realize that the cross, although it's supposed to kill our natural desires, the cross is a gift that we get to have. Because a cross is a gift that keeps us from walking out of the alignment that God has for our lives. The Bible says that we are to carry our cross. We are to deny ourselves. I love what John Piper says about the cross. He says, the cross is a call for self-denial, and it teaches the pursuit of satisfaction only in God. He says, the reason we are to take up our cross and deny ourselves is because we are so liable to find pleasure or satisfaction on this earth. And we are to never outgrow the need of our cross daily. No matter how mature we get, we have a cross to carry. And Jesus called us to carry a cross. And I can imagine Paul. He was a guy who was, man, he was a mature in the faith when he wrote that. But he knew that he had to carry the cross of Jesus on a daily basis. You know, I was thinking about my little daughter. She's 3, Jada, and she is definitely afraid of little ants or any kind of bug. So in the middle of the night, if she sees a bug or an ant crawling in her room, she would scream as if she's being kidnapped. She just would, ah! And so, you know me, waking out in the middle of the night, I'm go running towards the room, and I think something's happening, and something's wrong, and like, there's a bug. I'm like, no, that's a shadow. And so lately what we've done, we've gotten these little things we got from Home Depot where they are little things that kind of kills the ants. We kind of have them in random places in our house. So there's no ants, so she could be all right. So a couple weeks ago, Jada thought it was a great idea to take all those little things and throw them away. So the ants came back. And I said, well, that's what you get. And so she was scared. And she's walking around the house afraid and fearful and just can't even live life because these ants are back. I'm like, Jada, you threw away the very thing that was going to eliminate your fear. And sometimes with the cross, we throw away the very thing that's going to prune us so that we can be and experience the victory that we have in point one. And the cross is so important. And we honestly need to examine our hearts and say to ourselves every day, am I carrying the cross of Jesus? Am I denying myself? One person says it like this: to die to self is to set aside what we want in this moment and focus instead on loving God with everything we've got and valuing others as highly as we value ourselves. That's taking up our cross on a daily basis. We have to carry our cross. So not only is victory always possible, not only do we have a cross to carry, but number three, we are to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. This is why Paul wanted to focus on the cross and Jesus. Because we are to daily remember the sacrifice of Jesus. I think about just me growing up. I grew up in a single parent home. And so my mother, had four kids in the house while she took care of us, two boys and two girls. I was the second to the last. And we had these moments, this season early on, I think between age 5 and 8, where it was just a tough season for my mom. I mean, my mom, she worked 3 jobs to make sure she can pay the bills and take care of 4 kids. And she didn't have much help at all. My grandparents were super faithful, but she kind of did it by herself. She had to work 3 jobs. She had 1 job working for the federal government, another job working for Dillard's and a kind of a telemarketing job. And she was on her feet literally about 18 hours a day. 7 days a week. I remember this one particular night, we were waiting on mom to get home because we were hungry, there's no food in the house. Like, mom, bring some food home. And they didn't have cell phones back then, but I imagine if she had a cell phone, we would have been blowing her up. Like, mom, food. We just had a meal 2 hours ago, but we're dying, we're starving, you know? And so I remember that night, it's about 7 p.m., mom brought home some food from a restaurant called Pollo Tropical. And she brought home, it was like a 6-piece chicken meal that she bought. It was 4 of us and 4 kids. And so we kind of, you know, all the kids, we're just wrestling out what we get. You know, I was second to the last, so the oldest two got to pick first. And of course, they got the bigger pieces. And I'm upset, I'm bitter. And so after we were done taking our portions, a little bit left, I said, Mom, how about you have some? And she said, and my brother asked her that. And she said back to my brother, baby, I'll be okay. How about y'all get some more food? And that just stuck with me. My mom, she developed a permanent limp because she worked so hard to make sure she cared for us. And I tell you what, that right there motivates me to do my job every day. It motivates me to work hard because I know that the sacrifice that my mom went through for me. I mean, I'm not here because of her. And she worked hard to make sure that we can go to college and we have an opportunity to get an education. It's all because mom decided that she was going to work real hard. And when I think about the sacrifice of my mom, and then I think about the sacrifice of Jesus, it doesn't even compare. His sacrifice should motivate me more than anything that my mom did. It should motivate me to get up every day to give him my all. Like, you think about this, the sacrifice in which he went through. He went through the shame. He was God, and he became man, and he was God, and he was beaten. In fact, most historians say that his back was an open wound. It was so bad that most people said that they got some of his blood came out. He had 39 lashes. It was a brutal death. The crowns were, the nails were, the thorns were so long and so thick that they went on his head and they had to penetrate his brain and his nerves so that it can fit on his head. He went through that. His shoulders were dislocated so that they can stretch his arms far enough to have nails in his arms. His hip bone had to be dislodged so that his foot can reach the bottom of the cross, so they can nail it to the cross. The spear in which they stabbed him with, were all his blood came out, all his body fluids came out. And he went through all that for me. And Paul had to remind himself that the reason why he wanted to focus on Christ and the cross is because he had to remind himself in the darkest of night of what his Savior went through to get him there. I mean, it should just motivate us. It should inspire us every day. Like every moment of every day, we think about the cross. It should just get us going. It should just allow us to preach the gospel. It should allow us to live out our lives for the Lord Jesus. Why? Because of what he went through. The sacrifice that he went through. And Paul didn't want to avoid it. Paul didn't want it to be a once-a-year experience in which he experienced the sacrifice of Jesus. He says, I choose to know Christ and the cross every day for the rest of my life. That's how the cross impacts our lives. Because we remember what he did for us. I know we all have loved ones that worked hard to get us to the point that we are today. But man, none of us can even compare to what he did for us. And that's the power of the cross for your everyday life. But not only is victory possible, not only are we to carry our cross and remember the sacrifice of Jesus, but we are to be reminded that we are never alone because of the cross. Think about Paul. Paul was a guy who spent many years in chains in jail. He spent many nights lonely, depressed, by himself. He experienced many relationships that were broken. He experienced many endeavors in which God had called him to do that kind of failed. He experienced many things, shipwrecks and all type of things of his life. And he wanted to focus on the cross because he had to remind himself that he was never alone. Never alone. He's never alone. Because Jesus in this moment, this is one of the most powerful parts. If you are a critic of Jesus, you kind of hang out in this one part that says in your scripture notes, there's this one scripture that says in Matthew 27, says, my God, why have you abandoned me? And so in all of the gospels and all that Jesus went through, Jesus probably cried when the thorns went on his head and hit his brain. He probably was screaming when he experienced those 39 lashes. He probably was breathing really hard when he's carrying that cross that weighed probably around 250 pounds. He probably was in pain when his shoulder was out of place. He probably was in all that stuff. But the thing that impacted him the most was that his Father left him. The Bible says in the first chapter of John that Jesus had been in the bosom of the Father from all of eternity, which means before time started, Jesus was with his Father. he was with him, and he was beloved by him. And the awesome part about this is that this was the only moment in all of eternity, in all of time, where Jesus experienced separation from his Father. I think that's a powerful truth for us to understand. That God had to treat Jesus like us so he can treat us like Jesus. So that we would never experience the abandonment of the Father. No matter who you are, no matter what your story, no matter how far you appear to be from God, you would never experience God not being there for you because of this truth. I want to invite Pastor Brandon to come on up and start playing. We're about to close. But I was just thinking about the Apostle Paul, of what he went through in his life. the moments that he went through in his life, he had to daily remind himself of this truth, that he's never going to be alone, that he's never going to experience a God abandoning him in this life. And I believe that there might be some people here today, or it might be some people in your life, they may feel abandoned by God. They may feel like God has left them, that God is nowhere to be found. But because of the cross, we never have to go through this again. Like, it's always there, and that's an awesome truth. And this is why Paul says, I choose to focus on Christ and him crucified, because he knew that, man, there was going to be some nights where he questioned God. There are going to be some days, some dark storms where he questioned God. There's going to be some times where he slipped up and he walked away from God. But he reminded himself daily, man, Jesus, he experienced abandonment from the Father so that I never have to experience it. He's always there with me, and he's never going to leave me. And the power of this story, and the power of this season that we get to celebrate in this Easter season, that we serve a God that's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And I know, there's going to be times when it seems as if he's nowhere to be found. But he's there. You think about this, kind of theologians say that this was the moment of time when Jesus and God was not really connected. This was a brief moment in time that theologians say time had stopped, because the angels and the heavenlies didn't know. And in fact, and most people would guess and imagine that heaven stopped, because they didn't know God and the Son Jesus being apart from each other. They didn't recognize that from all of eternity they had seen these two there. It was this normal. It was a part of life. It was rhythm. It was this who they are. They were together and they experienced separation. And it's awesome that we now get to be a part of that promise. We get to be a part of, like, honestly, if it happens, heaven will stop. The world will stop if we get separated from the love of God. That's why I love that scripture that says, who can separate us from the love of God? And Paul felt separated at times. Last week, Pastor Brandon talked about the pain and the pressing and the oil press. And next week, Pastor Sean is going to talk about the victory and the resurrection. But sometimes there's a huge gap from our pain and from our victory. And what the cross does, the cross connects our pain. And it grabs a hold to our victory. And it connects it together. That's the cross of Jesus for our lives. So I want to remind you all that, come on, could you just give God one hand clap? Just one more hand clap. Come on, we gotta remind ourselves that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. The power of the cross, he's always going to be there for us. Would you all stand with me this morning? I pray that you got this truth. As simply as this, I believe there's a response that we all need to make. There's two responses. Number one is that we need to create daily habits in our lives so that we can remind ourselves of the cross of Jesus daily. And so, number one, we got to just have time with God, just on a daily basis. But on today we have something special for you, a gift for you. Downstairs, in our fellowship hall, we created an event, a time, an experience that you get to have with God. And it has different stations down there, and there's some music playing, and you get to experience the cross for yourself all over again. Literally, you can go right after the service. It's down there. It's ready for you. It's happening right now. It's very moment, all up until 7 p.m. tonight. But you can take 30 minutes before you go home and go down there and just, you can feel the 30 shackles of silver that somebody traded him for. You literally can touch the thorny, just hard crown that he put on his head for us. You can really experience this, like, right now. So we have that downstairs for you. I encourage you to take 30 minutes, take 15 minutes to go down there just to experience the cross all over again. Secondly, you can have time with his people. I tell you what, nothing reminds me more of the cross of Jesus when I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is why we just emphasize small groups. This is why we just talk about it and we harp on it, and we're never going to stop talking about it, because we believe this is such a practical tool for you to be reminded on a daily basis. You have people in your life on a small, intimate level that know you, know your struggles, and they can remind you of the cross of Jesus. They can remind you when you're down and out, when you're depressed, when you feel like there's no way. They can remind you of the victory that we find in the cross. And number three, we can find creative ways to put the cross in our lives. I know my wife, what she does is that she puts a scripture above her part of the sink, and she puts a scripture there, and this reminds her of the cross. This reminds her of the victory of the cross, that she has to carry her cross. It reminds her of the sacrifice of Jesus. It reminds her that no matter what her day is going to look like, that God's going to be with her. She's never going to experience him not being with her. And secondly, the second thing I believe that we can do today is this. We can share the message of the cross. Wasn't this a good message, right? This is a powerful message. It's not my message, it's God's message. And I know you know people that stay away from church because they feel like God's not with them. God's kind of abandoned them. I know you know people that's facing situations. They may have kids, like the thief on the cross. They thought their kids were wayward. They thought it was too late for the kids. But man, you might know somebody, you can remind them of that story, that God can come in the nick of time. You might know somebody that's facing a situation that it seems as if there's no way out. You can remind them of the message of the cross and invite them to next week. They get to hear such powerful stories about the cross of Jesus and how it impacts your everyday life. You're going to get one of these as you leave today. I want to encourage you to share this message of the cross. You know, most pastors, we call the people who come to Christmas and Easter only CEOs, right? They only come to Christmas and Easter only, right? And you probably got some CEOs in your life. They're people that, man, it's the only time they come to church. And this is a perfect time for you to invite them. And we believe the message of the cross is going to impact their lives for the better forever. Amen? Amen. I have this prayer. I just want to say it together. Would you all close your eyes before we say this prayer together? There may be somebody here today. You may say, you know what, Pastor Travis? I've never given my life to the cross. I've never accepted the sacrifice that Jesus did for me and made him my Lord and Savior. I've never done it. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand so we can pray for you? I'm not going to call you out, but we just want to pray with you this morning. If that's you today, you want to give your life to Jesus for the very first time. Amen. There might be some people here today that you may say, you know what? I feel like God abandoned me. Oh, you might be here today. You say, I'm facing a situation and it seems like there's no way out. If that's you, can I just pray with you? Could you just lift your hands today to pray with you? Amen. Yes, I see those hands. Would you all open your eyes? No matter what decision you made today, I want to encourage you, for all of us together as a family, to say this prayer together. And as we say, I just believe that God wants to bring victory in our lives on an everyday basis and experience the power of the cross. So let's say this prayer together. Jesus, thank you for the price you paid on the cross for me. I receive your love. I receive your victory. Help me to carry my cross so nothing can come between us. Give me the opportunity to share the victory of your cross this week. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Can't wait to see y'all next week. A Journey to the Cross is happening up until 7 p.m. today. Man, make sure you invite somebody. Make sure you get a handout as you leave today from the ushers to invite someone to church next week.